Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for 10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
D-Mace, Vingan and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and Connor Newt here with you. We are live at First Horizon Park, where the Nashville Sounds will take on the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. First pitch at 6:35. But the tarp's out on the field. It's looking a little stormy out there. No rain here yet at the ballpark, but they're prepared. So we'll see what happens. But if you need something to do, first pitch, 6:35 tonight, Nashville versus Jacksonville. By the way, these numbers just published by Fox Sports. The match between the United States and Bosnia is the most watched soccer telecast in English language U.S. history. Per preliminary numbers, 24.429 million viewers tuned in for the USMNT's World Cup match against Bosnia on Fox on Wednesday. It peaked at 31.883 million.
Do they say what it was last game? Do they have last game's numbers?
I'm sure they pull it up at some.
I thought that was like 15 million viewers. Maybe I'm thinking about another game.
Well, it makes sense.
Yeah. So, but it seems like the viewership has doubled.
People are catching on. Mm-hmm.
And the further that they go, what do you think the number can potentially get to?
That's a great question. Like, I think if with each one, the audience is gonna get bigger for sure. So I'm trying to put it like, what's a good NFL playoff game? Let's say it's not the Super Bowl. Let's say a wild card game. Is that bigger?
Let's see.
Is it an NFC Championship game kind of audience?
That has to be NFC Championship game audience or AFC Championship game.
So the league and Nielsen, meaning the NFL, the league and Nielsen said last weekend's 6 wild card games averaged 32 million viewers. So the 6 wild card games averaged 32 million viewers. This game peaked at 31.883 million.
So you're getting into that big NFL game territory.
Exactly.
That's impressive.
Yeah, and we'll see how. Look, I get it.
Football.
The other football is becoming very popular during the World Cup, and we talked about this even before the World Cup started. The fact that the World Cup is here, the games can be played in prime time. That's going to lead to big numbers. And as the U.S. team continues to advance deeper into the tournament, more people are catching on. So big numbers, NFL wildcard playoff game-like numbers for the U.S. men's national team in its win against Bosnia last night. Yesterday was the opening of NHL free agency. The Predators made one notable signing Alex Kerfoot to a 2-year contract with a $3.5 million cap at $7 million total, 2 years, 3.5 per year. Of course, the bigger news, the trade acquisition of 24-year-old forward Maverick Bork from the Dallas Stars. And while we were on the air yesterday, Predators GM and President of Hockey Operations Chris McFarland held a news conference to discuss the moves he has made so far this offseason. He's been very busy, multiple trades, and some signings as well. And we're going to play a couple of clips. We're going to start with one on the state of the roster, because with all of these moves McFarland has made, he really hasn't sent anybody out. He traded Fedor Svechkov. He traded Zachary LaRue. They were part of the deal for Jack Drury. But there are only so many roster spots to go around. So yesterday, Chris McFarland was asked if he's done making moves. Here's what he said.
looks like you have about 14, 15 when Bork signs forwards signed for under contract for next season. Defenseman, I think it's like 8 or 9. That seems like a lot for, you know, for where you need to be for a season. Does that suggest that maybe you're working on something to move more players out because you've got, what, 25, 26 guys right now?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. We're going to try, in all seriousness, we're going to try to, if we can improve the team, we're going to try to do it. I think the back end is something that we want to find a little bit more puck skill, a little more transition as part of our game. It's not easy to do, right? Those, as you can see by free agency, there wasn't a lot of those defensemen available. There's a reason for that. Those are the hard to get assets. Really hard, right? Centers, top two line players. And I think we're in that age now where the cap's going up and teams aren't going to be as squeezed to get their own guys done, but it's going to require some creativity. It's going to be require, you know, threading the needle at times, and it may require some tough decisions or moving some players that maybe you wouldn't normally look to move in order to improve key areas of the ice. And I think defending in the middle of the ice is sort of like, you know, up the middle in baseball. You got to be strong in those positions, and for us, we don't feel we're strong enough yet in those areas.
So, because you're listening to this and not watching the news conference, when Chris McFarland said, maybe,
yes,
maybe.
But he said, maybe, yeah, maybe.
But
he had
a certain look on his face.
He did.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He did.
So he was saying, maybe, but his face said, yeah, totally.
His face did say yes. And then he went immediately to a description of where they value and where they need some upgrading, which basically was the defense core. They want a little bit more skill, a little more drive, and he went into quite a bit of detail. That was not quite open book Barry Trotz, but it was, I think, revealing. I've really enjoyed listening to Chris McFarland's pressers. He doesn't do as many availability sessions, but I think if you listen, there's some themes that really jump out that he's been consistent that he's put in there. And strong down the middle, the baseball reference, I think does make some sense. And so I think when he got to, you might be willing to move off of some players to kind of circle back to where the question started, I think you can kind of circle a couple of guys in there that would be guys that he might be willing to move on from.
And who are those guys, Willie? Who would you put squarely on the hot seat on the Predators roster right now?
I think we talked about this some yesterday. I think, number one, there are guys that are up-and-comers that maybe have lost a little bit of luster. And this happens a lot, right? There are guys that, boy, when they're 18, it really does look like they've got a bright future and, hey, they're going to get there. And then when they're 19 or 20, you're like, oh, there's still a chance. And then they're 21, 22, and you're thinking, oh, boy, it hasn't really popped yet. Is it going to happen? How much longer do I wait? And then contractually, you get to a point where it's now or never. So I think now that they've moved on from Zach LaRue and Fedor Svechkov, the next two, and he went into some detail, not specifically with these two names, but he basically said, and it fit perfectly with what Dime said yesterday about creating competition. You're going to have to work for it. We're not going to just open up a spot and say, okay, you were a first-round pick. You were a guy that we traded somebody big for. Here's your spot. Good luck. Here's your chance. Some teams do that, and some teams go the other way. And that's what McFarland, who has no emotional attachment to these guys, is saying. Bust down the door. Make me notice you. And I think that fits Joachim Kemmel and Reed Schaefer at this point.
Well, I mean, when you have a new GM and he comes in and he says things that McFarland has said, in particular today, he's talking to his team. That's what he's doing.
Yes.
Essentially, he's talking to his team. He's telling his team, especially those young guys, because he specified the back end of the roster, the middle of the roster, or the middle of the ice. He's talking to certain guys. He won't say it by name, but he's talking to certain guys. So he's going to create competition to allow these guys to show whether they belong in the NHL or not. So he don't have to call out people's names. What he exactly said, I'm sure everybody in that locker room heard him and heard him very clear.
When I look at the Predators roster right now, the players who come to mind who should be on notice, Willie, you mentioned two of them, Joakim Kemmel and Reed Schaefer. Kemmel was the Predators' 2022 first-round draft pick, and as we documented when the Predators traded for Jack Drury, none of the Predators' first-round picks between 2016 and 2021 are parts of the organization anymore. Dante Fabro, Ellie Tolvanen, Philip Tomasino, Yaroslav Askarov, Fedor Svechkov, Zachary LaRue. So Kemmel could be next to be shown the door. If he does not show promise.
Or is he a trade piece while he still has some trade value? I do wonder that.
And Schaefer was not a first-round pick of the Predators. He was a first-round pick. He was a part of the return for Matthias Ekholm. So that was a move made by David Poile near the end of his tenure with advising from Barry Trotz, because when Barry Trotz came in, he helped David Poile with that deadline in, what was that, 2023? So Schaefer's been a part of the organization now for a couple of years. He's on notice. The big player.
Yes.
The big player to me is Jonathan Marchessault.
No question.
And even if he doesn't move, because as we have documented, he has a no movement clause in his contract. So if he doesn't want to move, he doesn't have to move. But Marchessault could be a player who loses his spot in the lineup. I can't imagine, let me clarify. I can't imagine Marchessault being a healthy scratch, but I can see him being moved further down the lineup at 5-on-5. I could see him losing a spot on the power play, and that might make things uncomfortable for him, and that may compel him to say, get me out of here. But when I think about the notable big-name players who Chris McFarland was talking to in that clip we played, Marchessault stands out first and foremost.
And here I think is the dynamic of Marchessault, because I agree with you. If you listen closely and you hear of players you wouldn't normally think about moving off from, who fits that profile? I think for different reasons, those three guys we mentioned fit the profile. You wouldn't normally, those guys have been on prospect list, the first two guys. And then Marchessault is an established winning player with a lot of notches on the belt, right? He's got the Conn Smythe. He's got the ring. He's got a 40-goal season. He's time-tested. But it just hasn't fit. The thing about Marchessault now, especially with Maverick Bork in the fold, and they still haven't signed him, but they're going to. That will get done, I'm very confident. Even if somebody zips in out of nowhere and gives them an offer sheet, there's no reason why the Predators wouldn't match the offer sheet. So he's going to be on the Predators. And they have sung his praises. They went out, they made a big effort to get him. He's in the mix. So that makes Marchessault even more expendable than he was. And this is what's been going on with him. We know he's got a no-trade clause. He can veto any trade. But now he's got to be looking at it. And Chris McFarland has said, while keeping the specifics of a conversation quiet, he's talked to all the players. So there's no question he's talked to Marchessault. So what could be in that discussion? He said, I'm going to be honest with the players. So if he tells them some of the things you just said, Adam, hey, we're not going to guarantee you a spot on the power play. We're not going to guarantee you a spot on the top six. Andrew Brunette is in a bind, I would say. He has been in a bind with Marchessault in the 2 years because, number one, Andrew Brunette's got to do what he needs to do to win games. But also, he is a guy that, having been a player, he understands the egos in a locker room. He understands the personalities. And he has, to his credit, he has given Jonathan Marchessault time and time again chances to be the Jonathan Marchessault that they signed. True?
Yes.
Like, I think there have been a lot of times where he's not playing real well, and a lot of people are going, why don't they bench Marchessault? John Hines used to do that.
Yes.
He
famously near the beginning of his tenure as Predators coach, he benched Ryan Johansson, Matt Duchene,
yes, he did.
Philip Forsberg, and said, if you're not going to play the way I need you to play, you're not going to play.
I was specifically thinking of Johansson and Duchene. He was not afraid to do that.
I think Forsberg maybe once or twice.
Yeah, maybe once or twice.
Yes. But specifically
and
Johansson
Forsberg
and Duchene.
It's been, over the course of his career, much more consistent, even though he does have some ups and downs within a year. But usually the numbers are there. But I think Andrew Burnett is reluctant to do that because sometimes he feels in the big picture it's going to cause more harm than good to do that. So how does Marchessault feel about it? Is that opening up his mind to saying, yeah, okay, I'll look at some new places? Because like you've said, Adam, in this new market, his contract isn't a huge burden. It's much more about the fit. So I do wonder what those conversations have been like. And he mentioned threading the needle. Mm-hmm. So threading the needle could be, can you find Marchessault, throw him with a Kimmel or somebody else with another draft pick, and find a defenseman from another team that upgrades your defense. That might be the definition of a theory of threading the needle.
Should they expect more from him, honestly?
Because, oh, yes.
No, but I'm looking at it. He's had a long, illustrious career. But eventually you start to dwindle down. 2 years ago, he was sort of on par with how he played coming from Vegas. But then last year there was a dip. So what are they expecting? That would be my question is, what are you expecting with an aging player? Do you expect him to continue to play the way he was playing at Vegas? You can't expect that. What are they looking for? Can he be a third or fourth liner and help your team in that way?
The 40-goal season he had.
That was an outlier.
The 40-goal season, yes. The 40-goal season he had before coming here was an outlier. I would have to look at the numbers, but I off the top of my head, I would say that Marchessault throughout his career has been somewhere between a 18 and 25 goal guy every year.
Yeah, but I would say closer to 25 in his prime,
yeah,
right?
But
it's also like as Chris McFarland has said. He said it yesterday again. It's not necessarily just how many goals you get. It's in the context. Are you helping us win? And along the lines, are you scoring some goals? And Marchessault, part of what they brought him is to score some goals. Being on the power play is big. But right now, I think you can debate. Mm-hmm. Remember, the first power play unit, Adam, you can help explain this on the other side. The first power play, there are two power play units you're going to use for more casual fans. But the first five is going to play two-thirds to three-quarters of the power play minutes. Is Jonathan Marchessault, who has been the default guy on the first five, is he better now than a Matt Wood who's coming up, a Luke Evangelista? Those guys are pushing. Right? You may not need Jonathan Marchessault on the first power play. But again, Jonathan Marchessault holds the cards because he has a no-trade clause.
615-737-1025. You heard from Chris McFarland. Sounds like some players have been put on notice. Who do you think McFarland was referring to in those comments? 615-737-1025. We'll take your reaction. Plus, I took the liberty of putting together my projected Predators lineup based on the moves they've made so far. Let's get your thoughts on it. Coming up next, 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Bingham, 1025 The Game.
As far as prospects go, when a player is ready to have a jersey in our lineup, he'll have one. It won't matter whether they're 18, 19, or 31. We're not going to go into this and say, this player has a roster spot. Things have to be earned here. It's the NHL is the winning business. The AHL is hopefully going to be part of the winning business because we believe that culturally. But the AHL is where your players are going to get good ice time and develop and grow. And then their play will tell us, we believe, when they're ready to have a roster spot in the NHL. And that's what we believe, I think long-term is going to have success because, that's how you have to do it, right? And for us, those young guys, their development on and off the ice is going to be crucial. We want to surround our young NHL players with character builders, guys that have seen winning, have touched winning, that know what it looks like and can teach these young guys, what goes into that on and off the ice. And I think – some of the players that we've added, like, you know, Jack Drury and Maverick Bourque and, you know, Ross Colton. They've seen what winning looks like, and, you know, they can certainly impart, you know, some things to our young guys, and that's what we want them to do. We want them to earn. We want them to kick the door down and take a National Hockey League job. It's not given.
That was Chris McFarland yesterday, following the first day of NHL free agency. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you as we approach July 4th weekend. Let's get to your reaction first. 615-737-1025. One texter says, should I start mentally preparing my daughter for losing Evangelista? No, I don't think Luke Evangelista is on the proverbial hot seat. I do think it's funny that you have to mentally prepare your daughter. We do know how popular Luke Evangelista is. Do you think, like, I'm imagining Luke Evangelista on the cover of, like, Tiger Beat. Do they still make those magazines?
Well, he was one of the most beautiful.
He was one of Nashville's most beautiful people. But I'm thinking of the old magazines with, like, Corey Feldman and Corey Haim, Luke Evangelista. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like, posters on the walls.
Yes. Duran was on there. You know, all of those, yeah.
So, I don't think you have to mentally prepare your daughter. I don't think Luke Evangelista is on this list.
But he is. The question with him, I think, would be, now that he is eligible for an extension and he is a restricted free agent next year, it's not like it has to get done today, but I do wonder this summer if there will be talks about an extension with Evangelista.
One texter says, Beverly says, dear Lord, please let McFarland be referring to Marchessault and Shea. I'm sure they're wonderful men, but they're not helping the Predators at all. Just my opinion.
I would put Shea in a different category. Brady Shea, I think, has worked very, very hard. And this is not to say Marchessault hadn't tried, but I think Shea made considerable progress learning to play in a different way and improved from year one to year two. And if he can have the same improvement from year two to year three, I feel like he will be, especially at $7 million, now that a lot of high-end, you know, top four defensemen are going to cost $10 million or more. That's the reality. $7 million isn't that much. I think Brady Shea is worth and will stay around.
One texter says, Marchie hasn't been given a fair shot. I wonder how many goals and points Forsberg would have if he played on the line with Svechkov and Sissons all the time. Although, did Sissons play? No, Sissons was gone by then, right? No, he did. Would they have played
the
together?
First year,
right. With Svechkov and Sissons all the time. He should produce more with Bourque and Colton. I mean, I have a hard time.
It's possible. I mean, that is worth bringing in. Now, not having a fair shot, I don't agree.
Yeah, I don't agree. I think he's been given plenty of opportunities. But to your point, Willie, about how Andrew Burnett coaches, I remember, I think this would have been last season. Maybe it was the season before. You can tell me. The Predators were in Montreal, and they were on the power play. And Marchessault attempted, like, a blind backhand pass toward the point. An errant pass. Montreal went the other way, scored on the shorthanded goal. And Marchessault, at least based on playing time, received no punishment for that. And I remember asking Brunette about that. It was not this past season. It was the season before, because I remember.
Because I don't think it was like Montreal. There was the game last year where he tried to shoot into the open net. It got blocked.
Yeah.
By Lane Hutson, who zipped it down the ice to Cole Caulfield, who tied the game dramatically.
Yeah. My point is, I think he has made mistakes and hasn't necessarily been, for lack of a better word, reprimanded for them. So I would not agree with the texter's point that he hasn't been given a fair shake.
Now, Barry Trotz has said, though, and I do think this is fair, but it goes to Derek's point. You're competing for ice time. You have to earn the right to play with Ryan O'Reilly. And if you're not playing well, the coach at some point's got to say, I got to go with the guys that are playing the best with the best center. So that's part of the equation. But I think, especially with the power play and with being in the lineup and ice time, They've given Jonathan Marchessault a lot of chances to jump up there and play the big minutes and produce.
Yeah, he's had his chance. They tried to change things around for him, so much so. And we talked about this, was it this year or last year, where Andrew Burnett didn't want to – it was like bench the guy, do something, and he didn't want to do it because he was capitulating to him and trying to find a way for him to fit in the team and be you know – go out there and do the job that he needs to do.
Well, the issue is,
and it didn't happen. And, so
yeah, my like this is something you can relate to, Derek. Mm-hmm. It's easier for a coach to quote unquote punish a role player. Like, I'll give you another example from a couple of years ago. I believe it was either Cole Smith or Michael McCarron.
It was McCarron. It was McCarron. Exactly, because I was sitting with you during the
yes,
game.
Yes, you were, because you were not calling that
yes,
game.
Yes, it was
that
an
night.
ESPN game. Yeah.
An absolutely egregious turnover at the defensive blue line. Leon Draisaitl swoops in, scores on a breakaway, and you didn't see McCarron for like 25 minutes.
Yeah, he got benched the rest of the game.
Right.
It happens.
So it's easier to do that with a role player than it is to someone who you are counting on to score goals and help you win games. You can relate to that in any sport. You don't want to punish a player who's going to catch touchdowns or score points.
Yeah, I get that part. But then there comes a point where his lack of production is hurting the team. So you have to make – this is the reason it's different from football. Because if I bench that guy, he may not play the whole game. Marchessault would have played because he would have been a part of another line. But just shift him, because we talked about that. Can they shift him down a line? Can they do something? But they chose not to. So I think it's easier I haven't been a part of the sport and I haven't been a coach. But I would think it would be easier than it would be in football, because I can justify just not necessarily benching him for the game, but just moving him down a line. He's still going to play.
And they have done some of that. But at the same time, Andrew Burnett has been willing. Adam, is this a fair statement? He is, over the 2 years, he has endured the heat.
Yes.
From Marchessault going public saying they're not using me right, or the coach needs to make adjustments, like implying. Mm-hmm. So Andrew Burnett has shown a lot of patience and has never fired back publicly to say, hey, I'm the coach, I control the playing time. It's not how he goes. He believes in the way he goes about it, more of the quote, player's coach, mm-hmm. right? There are some hardline guys, and I would put John Hines much more in that category. Peter Laviolette, no question, much more in that category. Barry Trotz, no doubt, more in that category. Mm-hmm. Andrew Burnett, a little bit more. I'm the former player. I massage egos. I'm going to play the long game. But still, I think you'd have to circle Marchessault. And it's not. I'm not going out on a limb and saying anything that others wouldn't. It just hasn't fit for one reason or another for 2 years.
Brandy says, as long as mac and cheese is safe, then I am happy. Referring, of course, is that yes. Ryan O'Reilly's band? Is that what mac
Wait
and cheese
a minute.
Is?
Hold on.
I don't know much about mac and cheese.
Adam.
What?
You have a 4.5-year-old. You don't know about mac and cheese?
He's not into it. He does like mac and cheese to
but he's
eat.
He's not into the music.
Okay. We need to make an introduction.
Okay.
Mac and cheese is the whole thing.
Okay.
It's awesome.
Well, next time.
It's right up your alley.
Next time.
Arlo, you're depriving Arlo of some great kids songs.
Next time we're in the car, I will put on mac and cheese.
Like it's a fairly recent release.
Is it an album?
Whole album? He's got an album of kids songs.
How many songs?
He's got an album.
Oh, just whole, like 15, 16 songs? Oh,
Pizza Party is the big hit. It's the victory song. It's great. And there's other ones, too.
I apologize to all mac and cheese fans out there.
Get with this program.
I know. Let's
we
go.
Need to get you a copy of mac and cheese.
Oh, right. Will do. Let's go to Jerry on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Jerry, thank you for calling and waiting. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I want to discuss something y'all talked about a few minutes ago about the first-round draft picks, that we don't have one. Mm-hmm. Now that's been from, 2016 to 2021?
Correct.
Now, I know a lot of those have not been high draft picks. They've been sometimes later in the first round. But you would think with all those picks, and all those go back on David Poole and not Barry Trotz, that we would at some point hit on one of those that, and in fact, during the whole time we've been a franchise, we have not hit on a forward or a center that's come in and been able to be a high scorer for this team. And all that, to me, goes back not only on pull, but on the scouting system that, you know, you would think, I mean, broken clock's right two times a day, you know, so you'd think we'd get lucky at some point and find somebody during that time that we've been a franchise that could have come up and been a high score for us, and it just doesn't seem like it's happened. And to me, a lot of that's got to go back on David Poole.
Thank you, Jerry. And it's similar to what we've been discussing with the Tennessee Titans. The Tennessee Titans are where they are right now because of all of the big misses they've had on recent first-round draft picks. And Jerry brings up a good point. We discussed this yesterday. When the Predators were drafting in the first round between 2016 and 2021, they were still being competitive.
Oh, so, that was the best years
right.
of the team, so they were picking lower.
Right, precisely. And you don't need a PhD to know that the lower you pick in a draft, the longer odds you face of that player being an impact player. But as Jerry said, you would hope that at least one of those players, Fabro, Tolvanen, Tomasino, LaRue, Svechkov, Askarov, would have become something. You hope that the acquisition of Maverick Bork can help you fill that gap. That
right. And Askarov, we have to put an asterisk
yes.
next to because they traded him, and so they have, as a result, they have Ryker Lee.
Yes.
And they have, who is, by the way, I watched him today. Woo! They are high on him. That
Future Stars game tomorrow at 10:30 a.m.
And then there's David Edstrom, who is going to, this is a big year for him. I do think bigger guys tend to take a little longer. So those are the two guys that are the principal parts of Askarov. So that story has yet to be told. And then in 2018, they didn't have a first-round pick because they traded it to get Ryan Hartman.
Right. One texter says, Adam, come on, mac and cheese is the jam. Well, is it mac and cheese or is it jam? That was a dad joke. 615-737-1025.
Yesterday it was better. The one about the Belgian
waffle. The Belgian waffling.
That was much
yes,
better.
Yes. Yeah. 615-737-1025. I will listen. I will make a solemn vow to all of you listening and to Willie and Derek. I will play mac and cheese for my 4.5-year-old son this weekend.
Good.
And I will bring his review to the show on Monday. I will bring his review. 615-737-1025. All right. We did not get to it in this segment. So coming up next, after all of the moves Chris McFarland has made, I have put together my projected Predators lineup so far. And I want to know what y'all think. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.
Who is this? Who
Two
is
Live Crew.
Oh, now, yeah. Okay.
Can we yes. just take a moment? Derek was the one asking Willie and me, who is this? Just think about that for a moment.
Just because I'm a black man don't mean I know who
you said
that.
That was. That was not what I was going for.
I know you can't.
At all.
That's why I said it.
I don't know what you're talking
about.
Two
Live Crew, Derek. Come on.
Excuse me?
I said even I knew Two Live Crew. Come
man,
on.
I didn't know that one when it played. I didn't pick
Band
up on it quick
Band in the
enough.
USA.
I didn't pick up on it quick enough. So it wouldn't have been the first thing that came to mind when you were talking about that group. But I know other songs of theirs.
Of course. Of course. But that's today's theme, of course.
That was kind of like, if I remember correctly, that was kind of the last hurrah after their run of very distinctly dirty yeah. songs that got everybody's attention.
It Hence like, why they were banned in the USA.
Right,
exactly.
Right.
They had to cut it down. Cut it down a little bit.
The funniest is when they would release the songs for MTV or the radio, they had to, you know, they had to change a
exactly.
lot of stuff.
You might as well not even show the video.
Right, right.
I had to double and triple check that was the edited version
yes.
of oh, man, yes, a Two yes, Live Crew
point,
track.
Yes.
All right. So based on the moves the Predators have made so far this offseason, I've put together my projected Predators lineup, and I want y'all's opinion on it. 615-737-1025. So here is what I have top to bottom, left to right. Forsberg, O'Reilly, Evangelista, Stamkos, Bork, Wood, or Stamkos, Wood, Bork. Wood played center last season. Bork is a natural center. Chris McFarland said yesterday he's going to give Bork every opportunity to hold down a spot at center. So you could have Stamkos, Bork, Wood, or Stamkos, Wood, Bork. You choose. Colton, Drury, Marchessault, Pinchuk, Kerfoot, Hoglander. Let me repeat my forward lines quickly. Forsberg, O'Reilly, Evangelista, Stamkos, Bork, Wood, or Stamkos, Wood, Bork. Colton, Drury, Marchessault, Pinchuk, Kerfoot, Hoglander. Willie Donick, your thoughts?
I think that's a good start. I'm curious about the Bork at center only because Chris McFarland really did jump out unsolicited and say he thinks Maverick Bork can play some center. And at camp, you're going to have to sort out a lot of these guys who can play wing or center. Wood, Bork, Colton, Kerfoot, all of those guys could go and you can slide them around, which is good. You want them to be able to be versatile. That helps Andrew Burnett be able to figure out the best possible lineup. So with that, with all that said, one thing I looked at with what you sorted out, let's take line number two. Or actually the first six in any combination. They're all right-handed shots.
Oh.
And Marchessault is all right-handed shots. Not that that's a huge thing for a forward line, but with centers sometimes, like if you wanted to have a tandem type of center, and I've seen them do this with O'Reilly, sometimes you have almost two centers on the same line.
Yep.
So I don't know, that would be a great question for a hockey coach, is if you have way more righties than lefties, do you ideally like to balance the lefties with the righties? Because the new lefties, if you will, Kerfoot's a lefty, Ross Colton's a lefty, Hoglander's a lefty, and Vitaly Pinchuk, who is the biggest guy that I can't figure out what they think of him. He had 31 goals in the KHL last year, 25 the year before. So he's bringing something to the table. They had to compete to get him over here. He's a late bloomer. So where does he fit? Maybe they won't know the answer to that until training camp starts. But that's another complete wild card that I'm not sure where he goes. But it also gives you the idea of the numbers here because you didn't even mention Joachim Kemmel, Reed Schaefer, Brady Martin, Pinchuk.
You put
Pinchuk in there. Weisblatt was the other guy.
Yep.
And then so all of those guys, it's crowded, right? Which leads you to believe that, you know, probably one, maybe more than one, will possibly not be there by the time training camp starts.
The other thing, too, my projected top six features three players who are 24 or younger, Evangelista, Bork, and Wood. So if you're looking for some fresh blood in the top six, you've got it. On defense, I have top to bottom, left to right, Shea and Yossi, Hagen Perbix, Willsby and Labushkin, but that does not include Ryan Efko. That does not include Justin Barron, which, you know, that's fine with me. But again,
we still don't know if Barron will be back. They have qualified
right.
him, right?
It does not guarantee that he will be back.
I think it's TBD on the D. I just think there are inevitably going to be some changes.
Yes.
Between now and training camp. I think the forward lines are much easier to right now try this exercise because you're asking yourself, I can't remember what you said, Adam. Did you say that Colton and Drury had played some minutes together
yes.
in Colorado?
Yes.
So that's something to keep in mind. Like a lot of times what coaches will say is like, I like to have line flexibility, but I like to have two guys out of the three forwards that have chemistry that I like to stick together. So you're not completely blowing up two or three lines all the time trying to find inevitably you're going to change line combinations. A lot of times if a team's struggling, they'll say, why does the coach keep shaking up the lines? Well, because they're struggling. If they're not struggling, you never change the lines. But inevitably somebody gets hurt, etc., and you have to change something. So lines are going to get shuffled at some point. So you try to keep some semblance of combinations that work.
One texter says, Pinchuk is a weird one because that was a Trotz signing. Very interested to see what they do with him. Cannot put him on a fourth line. The guy is going to need minutes. I've said it once. There are 2 to 3 more trades coming. Kemmel, done with the Preds. Book it. Schaefer, back to Milwaukee. Weisblatt, 13th or 14th forward.
I'm not sure, too. I had a friend of mine who follows us say that Schaefer cannot be sent to Milwaukee without waivers. He may have hit that threshold. I'm not sure. That's another thing that complicates things. Some of these guys, Weisblatt definitely is one that now would need waivers to send down to Milwaukee. So, you know, at some point you can strategically waive a guy and hope that nobody picks him up. Of course, that's what they were hoping for with Tolvanen, and it didn't happen. And all of a sudden, poof, he was gone.
Andrew says, I promise I'm not trying to be a contrarian or a party pooper here, but can someone explain to me why Luca Evangelista is so popular? Statistically speaking, has he not underachieved and underwhelmed since he's been here? Please correct me if I'm wrong. Well, part of his popularity, Andrew, is he is a young, good-looking man, and there are a lot of female Predators fans who love Luca Evangelista for that very reason.
It's hard not to notice that.
Have you seen the guy's hair? I mean, we're all jealous of anybody with hair on this program, but especially Luke Evangelista's hair. He has got a head of hair on him.
He's got personality. There's and that I don't think is weighing in on why he's a good part. To his credit, he had a very good year last year.
He's a really good playmaking winger. He can score, but I don't think that's his MO. His MO is setting up his teammates. He had 44 assists last season for the Predators, I believe 12 goals. So he can score, sure, but that's not what his bread and butter is.
Well, and let's also put it in perspective. We just got done with a discussion of a lot of first-round picks that have underwhelmed. So Luke Evangelista was a second-round pick. So if you think 56 points last year is underwhelming, I don't know what are you looking for from draft picks? I mean, that's a really good second-round pick. So, and the other thing about Evangelista is his counting stats are solid, not spectacular. He's still pretty young, but his analytics are good. His analytics also indicate that it's a positive. He's driving positive things when he's on the ice. And so some of it's not noticeable. He's not a big hitter, right? Like you said, he doesn't score a ton of goals. He's more of a hockey IQ kind of guy. He's not a blazing speed guy, right? He's not a big guy. But he gets it done with just being a smart player who continues to, I think, learn about the game. He's a guy that I think has been majorly influenced in a positive way by guys like Ryan O'Reilly and Steven Stamkos. So I'm not sitting here saying he's a superstar, but he's a good, solid piece, I think, on a winning team.
615-737-1025. We'll see what else Chris McFarland has in store for the Predators as the offseason continues. 615-737-1025. But it's 5 o'clock. It's our Friday. It's probably a lot of your Fridays as well with the holiday weekend. So we are going to have a Thursday edition of Ask D-Mace coming up next. 615-737-1025. If you've got a question for Derek, call or text now. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.